This is an iHeart podcast.
We have a retirement on the Supreme Court. I'll tell you why we have a retirement and preview the next one. We have old people getting older, yet they're staying in Congress. It's going to be a great show tonight on I'm Right. The big news of today is Justice Stephen Breyer is retiring. He's obviously one of the communists on the Supreme Court. I'll give you my thoughts on why that's happening here in a moment, but I do think, I don't get personal very often here on the show. It's just that I'm not a very touchy-feely, sensitive human being. I realize that. I've been accused of being hard and insensitive, so it's hard for me to reveal personal things about myself. It's very difficult, and it's certainly difficult when there are things that stir up emotions inside of me. But Justice Stephen Breyer is retiring, and I think now is an important time for me to come on the show and let everybody out there know, whoever Joe Biden picks to replace Justice Breyer, they raped me in high school. Oh, I don't remember where or anything like that, but it happened, absolutely. All right, in all seriousness, Justice Breyer, why is he retiring? I mean, besides the fact he's 9,000 years old. Let's pause there for a moment. An innocent dove such as yourself may say, well, yes, he's retiring. He's 1,000 years old. He wants to go play golf in Florida somewhere, eat some tapioca pudding, call it a day. Stop. These people are all communists, and Breyer is most definitely one, too. The communist never looks around and says, my work here is done, right? Then just because they're crazy when they're 20 doesn't mean they stop being crazy in their 80s. Remember, this is a religious movement. Justice Breyer is retiring for one reason and one reason only. Democrats don't think they're going to have the Senate. A bunch of people have pointed this out. My buddy Kurt Schlichter pointed it out, so I don't want to take all the credit for that thought. A bunch of people had that thought before I had that thought, but as soon as I saw it, I thought, wait a minute, what's up with the timing? Why now? I mean, why now? Democrats don't think they're going to have the United States Senate after 2022. They have meetings. I know it's all supposed to be separate, right? They're separate branches, definitely separate branches. They definitely don't communicate at all. But they're very, very separate branches. They communicate. And they sat down and they figured this thing out. Hey, Breyer wants to retire. He's getting old. Maybe his health is bad. I don't know that. I'm not saying that. I'm not wishing that on the guy, but maybe his health is bad. Whatever the reason, Breyer wants to retire. They all sit down, put their heads together and say, I mean, if he's going to retire, he kind of needs to do it like right now. And I mean right now, while we still have a very thin majority in the United States Senate, because they ain't going to have any kind of a majority after 2022. So put a smile on your face. Put a smile on your face. This is a good sign of what Democrats obviously see coming. That's good. It's a good day. Now, what's coming? What's going to replace him? That's what's so funny about this, is I feel like we're behind the eight ball. When I say we, I mean the right. I still see so many people on the right say things about the Supreme Court justices, and these are what they say. Maybe you're one of these people. They'll say things like, I just want someone who interprets the law. I just want someone who will follow the Constitution. You hear that stuff all the time. Maybe you've said it. Why? That's not what they do. I don't want someone who follows the Constitution, just interprets the law. I want a fire-breathing anti-communist who views it as their mission in life to rip to shreds everything the communist cares about. That's what I want. And you may be sitting there right now saying, Jesse, that's wrong. Jesse, I disagree. Jesse, you're crazy. Fine. That's fine. But you had better understand. You don't have to agree with me, but you would better understand that's how they do it. That's what they do. When they look at filling a spot on the Supreme Court, the Constitution or following the law or none of those things even cross the mind of a Democrat. They sit down and they say to themselves, Okay. Well, he's not gonna tear apart their agenda enough. Is he gonna push hard enough for my agenda? No. No. What about her? I mean, she's a real nutball communist. She might be good for us. That's how they look at it. The Constitution never even crosses their mind. They're in it to win it. Are you? But on that note, I do think it's funny, Joe Biden and the endless Democrat pandering. Joe Biden can't ever bring himself to actually just go for the most qualified person, even if you're a communist and you want the most qualified communist who will tear apart everything you love and everything I love. They can't do it. They're so hooked on this identity politics things. Hint, hint, the next justice is going to be a black chick.
I committed that if I'm elected president and have an opportunity to appoint someone to the courts, I'll appoint the first black woman to the courts. It's required that they have representation now. It's long overdue.
Boy, we're in great hands, aren't we? Hey, there's only 9 of these in the country, the High Court of the Land. Joe, what's going to be your rigid qualification? Well, I hope she's black and a woman. God, what a clown party. And you know what? Speaking of clown party, I did enjoy this. Now, full disclosure, I understand that I'm a different human being than most people, and certainly not better. Let's be honest, I'm worse. So I have a hard time relating to people lots of the time. And one of the things I have a very hard time relating to is famous people who won't let go of the spotlight. Like you see some rock star was huge in the 70s and 80s or something like that and made millions. He's got 10 mansions somewhere, put a girl under his arm, ski boats, I mean, everything, whatever, all the stuff rich people buy, private jets, has everything. And yet announces at the age of 75, when he just got a hip replacement, he's going on tour. And you go out there and you see him on tour, and he kind of sings like this. The voice has had too many Marlboro Reds. And he doesn't even look like he's having fun. I could call out someone specific, by the way. I'm not going to right now. But I always sit back and I think, why? What are you doing? You had the fame. You got the money. Go retire somewhere. Hike in the mountains. Play ping pong. What are you doing? Nancy Pelosi is one of those people for me. She has been in Congress since George Washington has been in Washington, D.C. She, because of her dirty ties and her husband, is fabulously wealthy. Whatever you feel about Nancy Pelosi, politically, she's one of, if not the most successful woman in the history of American politics. Her eyebrows are approaching her hairline, and yet she goes on TV and announces she's running for re-election?
Hello, it's Nancy. Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you. This election is crucial. Nothing less is at stake than our democracy. But as we say, we don't agonize, we organize. And that is why I am running for re-election to Congress and respectfully seek your support. I would be greatly honored by it and grateful for it. Thank you so much.
She really is a Disney movie villain. She is. She's Cruella DeVille come to life. Isn't it? I mean, she could almost be a robot that, I just really want your support. And you know there's just no soul in there. There's nothing left. There's nothing left inside. You remember when, she's talking to kids?
When people ask me what are the 3 most important issues facing the Congress, I always say the same thing. Our children, our children, our children. That is my why. Why I am in Congress. For the children. This is my story, and this is my song. As you hear me say, when you're in the arena, you have to be able to take a punch or throw a punch for the children.
What in the world? Gosh, what a creep. I mean, look, we all know why Nancy Pelosi's in Congress. One, money. I mean, her family raked in $30 million plus from big tech firms she's in charge of regulating. If you go through Nancy Pelosi's stock portfolio in her history there, it's just the dirtiest thing in the world. I mean, and remember, when asked about it, she doesn't even really run away from it. She's all, oh, I have freedoms.
I think that 49 members of Congress and 182 senior congressional staffers have violated the STOP Act, the insider trading law. I'm wondering if you have any reaction to that, and secondly, should members of Congress and their spouses be banned from trading individual stocks while serving in Congress?
No, I don't know to the second one. We have a responsibility to report in the stock, on the stock, but I'm not familiar with that 5-month review, but if the people aren't reporting, they should be. This is a free market and people, we are a free market economy, they should be able to participate in that. Yes, ma'am.
Don't you love that? The communist who spends every single waking moment trying to find a way to stick her ugly fingers in the economy finally gets asked about corrupt congressman insider trading on information you don't have and I don't have and getting rich off it. She says, free markets, baby, freedom. Gosh, these people are the worst. Look, and they're so old. And you know I'm not anti-old, but why is everyone in power so old? Nancy Pelosi's 8,000 years old. Joe Biden is ancient, no longer a functional adult, and Joe Biden has announced that he's running for re-election in 2024. Joe Biden can't complete a sentence now. 2024 is like 3 years away. And look, everyone hates the guy. Zogby poll found out that 45.7% of the voters believe Joe Biden lied throughout his campaign just to get elected. It's not even that he's historically unpopular after a year. The country thinks he's a stone-faced liar. And why wouldn't they? It's been, honestly, you could say every presidential administration is dishonest. In a way, I guess that's part of the job. But there's dishonest, and then there's blatantly lying in the face of the Americans all the time. Jen Psaki gets asked about Joe Biden because people are finally starting to notice. Remember, the president has a schedule, and the president's schedule is published. It is publicized. People can see it. The president isn't, you know, I don't know where he is. The president publishes his schedule. Joe Biden, president of the United States of America, the man with the most important job in the world, has sometimes days where there's nothing on his schedule, or he'll have days where there's like one thing. It's like a meeting at 10. And finally, the American media, after a year, is saying, what's he doing? And then they try to lie. Well, he's having a lot of very important meetings. At the same time, Joe Biden's out there deep-throating ice cream.
Well, let's see. This morning, I think he had some policy meetings, also a PDB meeting. Later this afternoon, I think, is doing some remarks review. There are some days that we spend some time doing internal meetings and discussions with policy experts, with policy leaders, and that's what's happening today. He would say he doesn't have nearly enough time of free time on his schedule because it is packed no matter whether people see him or not.
I love it. We didn't just do that. The ice cream was taking place pretty much while she was speaking. He's got a lot of meetings. I love Jen Psaki there. That sounds like me trying to explain to the wife what I've been doing all day. When I've been out golfing with the buddies, she's out taking care of stuff, chores and whatnot. I'm golfing with my buddies, couple bourbons with my buddy on the back patio. She comes home. What'd you do all day? Well, I mean, there were a lot of meetings and reviews and there were high-level reviews. I mean, you wouldn't business talk. You wouldn't understand. Gosh. Which brings us to 2024, as long as we're talking about it. Surprise, surprise, they're starting to run polls. Trump versus this, Trump versus that, Trump versus Biden, Trump versus Hillary, like they're running all the polls already. Trump, unsurprisingly, is killing everyone in the polls because the Democrats are just so unpopular right now. You could run a bar stool up against any of these people and they would be coming out ahead in the polls right now. And look, Trump keeps acting undecided. Every time they catch him on camera, sure sounds like a man who's running.
45th president of the United States.
45th and 47th.
47th.
Yes. I love that.
Mr. Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump National.
Beautiful.
45th and 47th. Okay. All right, fine. As I've said 1,000 times, I don't care if Trump gets in the primary. Fine, good. Thought he was a good president. I maintain my position. I want everyone to get in the primary. Everybody. I want DeSantis. I want Cruz. You name it. I want them all in the primary. No coronations. Let's let iron sharpen iron. Let's let everybody go after each other and get sharp again, ready for a nasty 2024 general election campaign. Handing the nomination to Donald Trump does not help Donald Trump. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help me. It doesn't help Republicans. It doesn't help the country. It helps nobody. Everyone needs to get in that primary. Donald Trump needs help right now getting back on message and back in touch with his base. He can do it. He's going to need a primary to do it. He just endorsed some Jeb Bush, never Trump flake in the Tennessee 5 primary. My buddy, Robbie Starbuck, is a hardcore America First Trump guy. Like a really, really, really good dude and ahead in the polls. Like he's the guy. He might be the next congressman. Trump comes in and endorses some rhino. Donald Trump is a man who I believe has spent too much time in retirement golfing with sycophants videoing behind him. Oh, here's Donald Trump. Oh my gosh, can I have your hat when you're done, sir? And not enough time with people like you and people like me. I believe he needs a primary. He has to have one. He has to. If you love Trump, you should hope Donald Trump gets a nasty primary. He needs it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Jack Posobiec joins us next. Now, here's something else that may make you uncomfortable. Mark Chaykin. You've probably heard of Mark Chaykin. He got really, really famous for being one of these financial wizards who called the last financial crash. He's just one of these guys. I don't know how he does it. I can't do it. I don't have that skill. I don't have that intelligence level. He's one of these guys who can see what's coming. You need to go right now to Market Message, 2022marketmessage.com, 2022marketmessage.com. It's free. I'm not telling you to go buy anything. It's free. Go to 2022marketmessage.com and hear what Mark has to say about 2022. It's enough to give you some goosebumps and probably not in a good way, but I do want you to be prepared. Again, this is free. 2022marketmessage.com. We'll be back with Jack.
Why should Americans care about what's happening in Ukraine?
Because it goes to a very fundamental principle of all nations, which is that our borders should be inviolate, that our sovereignty should be respected.
All nations? It's weird. I don't remember ever pledging allegiance to all nations. Maybe Jack can help me out with this. Joining me now is my friend Jack Posobiec. He's, of course, the host of Human Events Daily on Apple Podcasts. Jack, do you remember when you swore an oath to protect and defend all nations?
You know, it's weird. I remember there was this thing called the Constitution. You know, there were a lot of people there. It was right before boot camp. You know, I was young. I was impressionable. I thought joining the military meant serving my country. We all make a lot of mistakes when we're young. But what's interesting about this clip is Jonathan Finer, of course, he's the deputy under Jake Sullivan. This guy, one of those people, by the way, completely obsessed with Ukraine. Same with Sullivan, same with Tony Blinken. Finer, totally involved in the dossier. Total true believer, doesn't even realize how his comments are going to be construed in the United States for the domestic audience, where we hear, wait a minute. So the Biden administration all of a sudden says, borders are inviolate and we must respect the sovereignty of them. Like, wait. You guys that are allowing the human traffickers and the kids bringing the sex assaulters over the bottom southern border of the United States, all of a sudden care about borders when they're thousands and thousands of miles away.
Jack, this is a tangled web, and I'm an idiot, so I need you to unpack this for me in particular. Ukraine, there's all this Biden involvement with Ukraine. People remember that, the Hunter Biden stuff. And then you have all these Joe Biden lackeys, as you just pointed out. They seem to be uniquely invested in this whole thing. I feel like there's something here I'm not seeing, but I should be seeing, but you're probably seeing it. What is it?
Yeah, so I mean, there's... Yeah, I actually had somebody call me this morning and say, Jack, you know, you break this all down. It's like, I don't want to get too in the weeds. And I said, look, there's two ways you can go about this. You can go into the weeds and you can really talk about all the different think tanks and the policy forums and councils that people like Victoria Nuland and Tony Blinken and Hillary Clinton, by the way, back at the time, were involved in. You can talk about Burisma's funding of Hunter Biden, as well as their funding of the Atlantic Council, Viktor Pinchuk, another Ukrainian oligarch who's been funding the Atlantic Council. But at the end of the day, it's really as simple as this. They're being bought off. This is something that was unfinished business from the Obama administration. Remember, Hillary was supposed to become president, and then that would have ushered Ukraine into NATO and into the European Union. And then, of course, obviously there was a four-year pause on that, but they realized, okay, they've got Biden in now, but it's all the same people around him that are in the State Department. So they're just going forward with what they were going to do last time. And it's really amazing to me that they seem to completely discount the idea that us getting into a shooting war with Russia in the dead of winter could possibly be any sort of problem at all. As you know, of course, Jesse, you know, our ground forces right now are completely invincible. I mean, this is absolutely the right time to get into a ground war in Eastern Europe, don't you think?
Well, I mean, Jack, it's Russia in the winter. What's the worst thing that could happen to a military there? I mean, I wouldn't oversell that at all. You know what? Here's a clip of you.
Of course not.
Yes, no precedent at all there. Here's a little video of the Ukrainian president.
Right now, all news bulletins and media are dominated by similar messages about the war with Russia and the inevitable Russian invasion, which can start any minute. We know there's a potential war threat. We are ready for it. But we are doing our best so our preparedness would not be needed. What should you do? Only one thing. Don't panic. Keep a cool head. Be confident. Be confident in our army and our Ukraine. Don't overthink it. React to things wisely, without emotions.
Jack, what am I seeing? Am I seeing a man who's confident in his military? Am I seeing a man who's confident that Russia's actually not going to invade? What am I looking at there?
Well, one thing that really makes, I think, a lot of context come clear in this is that President Zelensky in Ukraine is currently polling even worse than Joe Biden is polling in the United States. He's down in the dumps, maybe high 20s, low 30s on a good day. He's in the middle of his term. He's going to be running again in 24, the same way as President Biden is. And so they're both looking at this situation as a way to say, well, you know, we've completely screwed up the economy. We've completely screwed up everything. By the way, also because of COVID and because of lockdowns in Ukraine, which had violent protests in Kiev over these lockdowns. One of the huge things that Zelensky is very, very, very unpopular for, a guy who won, by the way, with like 70% of the vote. Now he's running against the former president, who's most likely going to run against him in 24. So you got a guy who realizes, look, let's go pick a fight so that, you know, we can talk tough and then walk away from it as if we're winners. But then I think he's now starting to realize, you know, there's a lot of people in Ukraine that maybe don't want to go to war with Russia, and also realize that, again, you know, there is a precedent of Russia, war, winter, things not going very well for anyone in that situation. And then realizing that, look, at the end of the day, he's got to live in Ukraine. Joe Biden doesn't. That's why he's got to pull things back from this, the way people in D.C. can, you know, go off with their hysterics. And by the way, you're seeing the same thing from the Germans and the French, who are holding a meeting in Paris right now with Russian diplomats and Ukrainian diplomats to say, look, guys, can we just talk about this? Let's cut the Americans. Let's cut the British out of it. You know, nobody wants to get shooting here. Let's just sit down and talk like, you know, actual adults.
Oh, good. A big meeting in Paris. Those always turn out well. All right, Jack, changing directions here. Changing directions here. There is something in the news about an F-35, China Sea, people injured. What happened?
Yeah, well, the U.S. military, the U.S. Navy 7th Fleet in the South China Sea was putting together a show of force in the region, basically as a way designed to show that China, should not be aggressive towards Taiwan, and that we should be ready to defend, and that we're, you know, motto of Indo-PACOM now is ready to fight tonight. Well, of course, in one of these operations, an F-35 Charlie actually conducted. It's kind of unsure what happened. There's a video that leaked the Daily Mail kind of showing this, but they basically botched the landing. So this thing crashes into the USS Carl Vinson, injures seven sailors that were on board the deck. Then the pilot was able to eject. The plane itself crashed and sunk into the South China Sea. So now the U.S. Navy is trying to get it back because, of course, this is right, you know, very close to the coast of China. So, of course, we're trying to get this thing back before the Chinese Navy can get it back. So our show of force is going very, very well there in the South China Sea.
That's great. So we did a show of force and crashed a plane on a routine landing on a carrier. Okay. All right. Trying
Which,
to
by
get
the way,
it back.
I hate to get too in the Mediterranean.
I hate to get too deep into nerd details here, but getting a plane off the bottom of the ocean floor is not easy for us or China. What am I missing?
Yeah, fortunately, that area of the South China Sea isn't as deep. We're not talking about the, you know, the main sort of open Pacific. It's not, you know, Mariana's Trench or anything like that. So there are a few plans on the shelf to be able to do something like this. They're actually looking at using underwater submersibles, UUVs, to locate the thing, number one, and then also seeing if there's a way that they can use inflatables to be able to pull this thing up. Or, you know, quite frankly, if they're not able to get it up, they're probably going to have to destroy it.
Good grief. Oh, good luck with that. Jack Posobiec, thanks so much, Jack. I appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate it, Jesse. Take care, man.
That's not good, is it? Oh, well. All right, now, Brandon Tatum's joining us next, former police officer. He's going to talk about cops and crime in New York and other things. But first, do you own a home? If you own a home, it is important you understand. I didn't understand this, so I'm not judging, but it is important you understand your home title is online. Your home title is online, not a piece of paper in a bank vault. And because it's online, these cyber thieves are just hunting for it all day long. The biggest cyber crime out there right now is home title theft, something I didn't even know existed until I got an email and I'm looking at my home title with my signature on it. That was quite a stunning moment. They take it and get your signature on it. They forge your signature on it. They go take a loan out against it. They get you evicted from your home. They take off with the money. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now and sign up today. They'll detect any tampering of your home title and shut it down like that. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. All right, I'm going to show you a little video. Remember, before we bring in Brandon Tatum, I'm going to show you a little video. It's a video of a shooting in New York City. I understand a lot of you watch with your kids. Kids are watching right now. Don't worry. There's nothing graphic in this video. It's nothing bad, but just watch.
He's the shooter?
Yeah.
And who's the vet? The guy that pulled... Oh, that guy...
He's not a nurse. I thought he was a nurse.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Joining me now, my friend Brandon Tatum. He's, of course, former police officer, author of the book Beaten, Black and Blue. Brandon, I mean, it's not exactly something brand new that New York has some crazy stories. But, man, it's every day now. Some woman's getting chucked in front of the subway. People are marching into the hospitals and gunning people down. How much worse can it possibly get there?
Well, if they don't change their rhetoric and they don't start supporting police officers like they should, they're going to see more and more people being emboldened to commit more heinous crimes. And also, if they don't change the foolery associated with bail reform and allowing these criminals to get out, people that it should be locked away for a very long time, they are going to see more of an increase. So it's policing that they need to address, supporting their police officers, funding their police officers, building the morale of their police departments, and then also holding people accountable when they do commit crimes. Those are the only solutions that's going to work for them and to mitigate some of these crimes that are being committed.
Brandon, can you unpack for me bail reform? The word gets thrown around a lot, but I do think there are some people who don't understand what it actually is. What is this bail reform they talk about?
So some politicians and activists believe that bail, you know, when you go to jail, you're not necessarily not sentenced yet, but you go to jail and they allow you to be bailed out. And some people can, you know, they'll say $200,000, you only got to pay 10% 10% of that, and you'll be let out. So they think that it's biased towards minorities and people of color, and it disenfranchised individuals who can't afford to be bailed out. And they have this whole ideology surrounding that. And so what they try to do is say, okay, we're going to eliminate bail for certain crimes so people who are low income can afford to have a fair chance at getting out and not be sitting in jail and rotting until their initial appearance for sentencing or conviction. And so they use that. It backfires because some of these criminals, it doesn't matter what kind of money they make, they are hardened criminals that have committed heinous crimes, or they are intending to commit crimes that are greater than the ones that they're being charged with. And that's causing a residual effect of greater crimes being committed, more criminals on the street, and heinous stuff like pushing people in front of a train and pulling a gun and shooting a person in a lobby. All of those things are residual effects of not holding individuals accountable.
Brandon, obviously I understand I'm asking you to put yourself in someone else's shoes and someone else's mind, but clearly these policies like bail reform do not work. You're turning violent criminals loose, and surprise, surprise, career violent criminals are committing more violence. Do you think these people are sitting back now and wondering, maybe I should change my ways? Bail reform is a bad idea?
Well, I believe they knew it was a bad idea, Jesse, from the very beginning. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you that these people who commit crimes are opportunistic, and a lot of times they live a life of crime. This is not just a one-off. They should be held accountable, and if they're not, they will come and be present in court and get no bail 15, 16 times. I've seen it as a police officer. There's people who had 1,000 arrests. How in the world are you still on the streets and you've been arrested 1,000 times? So they know better than what they're doing. The trick is that they want to fool the public into believing that they're so virtuous and that these black people or people of color are downtrodden. And if you only gave them opportunities where they wouldn't be locked away in jail, they'll somehow miraculously change their lives. And it makes you emotional enough to vote for them because you believe them that the politicians are compassionate. And most people want to be compassionate. But the reality is that it has nothing to do with compassion, has everything to do with manipulating you for a vote. And once it all hits the fan, you know what? They are the ones that have the solution to fix the problem they created. And it's a cycle of getting you to vote for them and them staying in office indefinitely.
Gosh, that's terrible. All right, Brandon, I have this actor, dirtball Michael Rapaport. I have a question. I wanted to play this video for you. You've probably seen it. And then I have a question.
Yo, I'm looking at this. This dude, this mother. Yo, that. This dude is. I can't believe I'm seeing this. This mother. Yo, this guy just filled his two bags up with everything. In Rite Aid, right here on 80th and 1st Avenue, is walking down the street like is Gucci. Look at me in my face like, what's good? I was watching him the whole time. My man just went Christmas shopping in January.
Brandon, my question is this. Michael Rapaport votes for every single politician who supports those things. He rails against Republicans every chance he gets. Do you think there's ever a moment, like right then, do you think Michael Rapaport thinks, maybe this is my fault?
Well, I don't think at all he thinks it's his fault, but I think he's waking up to realize that the people that he'd been voting for are not doing what they said they were going to do. And none of the things that he believes, the fallacies that he had been convinced to believe, are actually true. He was one of the main ones telling people to wear 5 and 6 masks and literally berating people for not wearing a mask. And he catches COVID, and it's like music to my ears. Now he's awakened. Now he believes in these policies and racism in America, and we need better policies for black and brown people who are, you know, that need help from society and all this other stuff. He's the biggest advocate. He will cuss you out if you disagree with him. And now look at him. Front row seat to the craziest show on earth, watching the very thing that Republicans and conservatives are talking about. He get a front row seat to it. And I'm hoping that after being exposed to these things with COVID and now, you know, the bail reform issue and also the defund the police issue where you see criminals running rampant, that he wake up to the things that he's saying and the things that he's doing and people he's voting for.
Brandon Tatum, thank you so much, my man. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, before we get to Representative Ralph Norman here in a moment, we're going to talk about COVID communism and this insanity. Let's talk about something good. Let's talk about the fact that Eden Pure Thunderstorm, it works amazing, and they have a steal right now. You see, air purifiers. You probably have one. I always have had them in my entire life. The big towers. And they always tell you, you know, it'll help with your allergies, or it'll take the smells out of the room. And I'll be honest, I've bought a bunch of them. Some of them help. Some of them don't do a daggone thing. But my buddy told me, hey, you got to try an Eden Pure Thunderstorm. And I thought, oh, okay, buddy, I've had them all. I get it. He's like, no, you don't understand. I finally got one. I got it, and it was just this little black box. I thought, okay, what's this supposed to do? Because you plug it into, it doesn't make that loud noise. Oh, it works better than anything. There's not even a filter to replace. You know, that every year having to grab the filter and vacuum it out. Nothing like that with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It goes right in your wall. You hardly know it's there. It takes all the odors out of the air. And I don't even own allergy medication anymore. I own three of them. And you can own three and save $200 while you do it. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. Greatest thing in the world. We'll be back.
When I took office, I made a promise to the American people to do everything in my power to ensure that all Americans have access to quality, affordable health care. Because I believe that health care is a right, not a privilege.
Apparently that doesn't apply to unvaccinated people. Remember, we ran that story yesterday about a 31-year-old father of two with a third on the way being taken off the transplant list in Boston because he's unvaccinated. Just unconscionable how horrible people have been. Joining me now, Representative Ralph Norman. He's a congressman from South Carolina, obviously. Congressman, I have to be honest, I've been a little taken aback by the cruelty of Americans to Americans over all this vaccine nonsense over the last 2 years. I didn't think we were that bad.
Well, you look at what this administration has done, Jesse, to the American people. You look at the, his words have meant nothing. And, to call some people like you just quoted, like you said about getting off the transplant list. What about the soldiers who are losing their job, their paycheck? What about the mandates that he's had when he's so hypocritical? Because this isn't applying to the 2 million illegals that have come into this country. I've been to the border. They weren't vaccinated, nor were they given any kind of testing. And to distribute them all over America is unconscionable, it's un-American, and ought to be held accountable for it. And to control the monoclonal antibodies and to make them scarce, to control the shortage of kits to detect COVID, I mean, why is that working? I mean, what's in with that? So his words don't match his actions, and there's been one train wreck after another, and the COVID, what he's done with COVID has been a prime example of the mismanagement, and it's deliberate.
I want to ask you about the COVID stuff that you have going on here in just a second, but the border stuff brought this to mind for me. I continue to hear from various congressmen out there that there is a very real chance that DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is facing an impeachment if the GOP control the House. And according to them, what they've told me on this show is he is breaking the law on purpose with what they're doing with illegal immigration. Do you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. Jesse, with this administration, impeachment has got to be on the list. We cannot sit back and let this continue to happen. Now, the argument that will be made is he'll put somebody just as bad. Well, make him go through the process. You'd rather have nobody at the helm than having somebody like a Mayorkas, who is he's gone rogue on everything that he promised about, you know, orderly transition of illegals. It's not. It's a mass invasion on our border. And, he along with a lot of others ought to be impeached. And I think it's, you know, when you say that, it's this administration has had the people they're using to carry out these rogue laws have got to be held accountable. And there's consequences to it. And America's paying a price right now.
Congressman, one of the things I've been frustrated with, well, I mean, I saw it coming, but I've still been frustrated with the fact that the religious exemption to the vaccines, they're getting shot down all over the place. Very rarely is someone actually granted a religious exemption, both private and military and otherwise. It's driving me nuts. Are you addressing this?
Yeah, my bill said that, you know, no federal dollars ought to be put toward any agency that requires that would record and have a database on those who had religious exemptions. What do they want to use it for? Why are they even talking about doing it? There's 19 agencies that are affected with this, Department of Transportation being one of them, Health and Human Services being another one. But the fact that they want to collect this data just leads more to the mistrust that the American people already have about being mandated to take the vaccine and how it affects them. But again, this administration runs ramshod over the Constitution. It runs ramshod over freedom. It runs ramshod over this thing we call choice that is a part of our heritage in this country.
Congressman, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate you very much.
My privilege. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about something good. Shopping for health insurance. Oh, quit. I know it's miserable. I know. And if it feels like I feel this, it's, you know, I've had 1,000 different jobs, right? I just fell backwards into this job about 3 years ago. I was in construction and moved across the country, lived in D.C. doing crappy political work. I sold RVs, and I've had so many times where we needed health insurance as a family. Wasn't just shopping for me, as a family. And so you're going through all the tabs on your phone. Honey, what's the premiums? It's terrible. I'll make it easy for you. OneShare Health. Go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly. And what this is a faith-based group. Their options are endless. Whether you're an individual or a family, vision, dental, you name it, 24/7 telehealth already comes with it. The prices are outstanding. It's your one-stop shop for it. It just makes your life easier. Go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly, and the promo code is Jesse Kelly. That gets you $75 off your enrollment fee. Go now. We'll be back. I have a confession to make. It's time for Light in the Mood, and I have a confession to make. I've always wanted to run on the field. Baseball game, football game, anytime I've ever gone to any of them, I've had this stirring inside of me. I want to run on the field. Now, granted, I know you think, oh, Jesse, you're a Greek god, but I'm actually pretty slow, especially for 6'8". I'm pretty slow. I'm all legs and feet. It's not pretty, so that wouldn't be good. And I definitely get caught pretty quickly, but I've always wanted to run on the field. And to be honest, when you look at videos like this, you may be tempted to say to yourself, what an idiot. And I mean, you're right, of course, but I look at this and I think, man, that could have been me.
$1,000, you will not do that.
$1,000, we're on a field.
You will not run down the field.
To get arrested and
$1,000 to
spend a night in a drunk tank.
Gosh. Thank God I'm on camera. $1,000, and then he cuts away and he's down there. Gosh, that's greatness. Don't do that, though. Not funny. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.